This thing exploded onto the world, and in the midst of it, after only 2 years, he literally had an emotional collapse, and he walked away from the ministry forever. He still prayed. He still had a walk with God, but he never went out and publicly ministered like that again. And when this book, the lady somehow convinced him to allow his name to be put on this book when she put it out, this War on the Saints. And it caused so much confusion because the people who had been ministered to by him said, "What are you telling us now that this was of the devil? All that I got saved in this thing. My family got saved. You know, and you're saying that," and the confusion that amounted from that just quenched the spirit in such a powerful way that in Wales it shut the thing down completely. Now, he later denounced that book and said, "No, that was a work of the enemy. I'm sorry I ever let my name be associated with it. It was wrong." But this mighty move of God was quenched because of the criticism of uninformed people, and people didn't know how to respond to that. Now, it went on in other parts of the world. It continued. I mean, the world still felt the impact of it and all that. But in Wales, it got shut down. In fact, it says that within a generation, you would never known that there was ever a revival that ever took place in Wales at all. How tragic is that? How utterly sad when God was doing such an amazing work in their midst and they let criticism and fear and lack of leadership shut the whole thing down. Man, that breaks my heart. I want to give you one more example. You guys have been very patient. Thank you so much. Normally I do 4 pages. This is a 5-pager. Please bear with me. I promise I'll try not to be boring, okay? I will do my utmost. But I want to talk about one other revival because it amazes me in the opposite direction how beautiful this thing is. How many people have heard of the Brownsville revival? Yeah, just a few years ago. Okay. On this day, Father's Day, 1995, 13 years ago today, on Father's Day, relatively large church. Seemed like any other Sunday except they had a guest speaker that day, an evangelist named Steve Hill. People were out, you know, taking their dads to breakfast. They're trying, you know, getting their cards right, signing their cards at the last minute, get their presents all together, carrying on. And they came to church like any other day, just going on. You know, probably had their mind on other things. Steve Hill begins to preach, and the Holy Spirit begins to move in an unprecedented way. And at the end of his message, he gives an altar call, and 1,000 people come down to the altar to get before God and to seek his power and to seek his presence. And the Holy Spirit begins to pour out in power, and revival broke out in an unprecedented way. And there was all kinds of mighty moves of God going on. Next thing you know, thousands of people are coming from all over the place, all over the country, all over the world. They're flocking to this thing. God is moving in a powerful way. Multitudes are getting saved. And I've read testimony of people who responded to the criticisms and say, "What are you talking about, man? I got saved at Brownsville. My life was transformed and changed at Brownsville. God met me and saved me from hell." Getting filled with the Holy Spirit. And as Arthur Wallace said, God moves and then Satan moves, or God works and then Satan works. And all the things that go along with that right side of the list, the counterfeiters, the carnal attention seekers, as usual, began showing up. Things got a little bit out of balance. There wasn't a strong enough handle of leadership to really kind of keep things in check and in control. And not long after that, a guy you might have heard of, a very well-known, well-respected evangelist and defender of the faith, a guy named Hank Hanegraaff, wrote a book, and I'm a big Hank Hanegraaff fan, so don't take this the wrong way. I love him. He's a godly man. I disagree with him on a couple of things very strongly. But he wrote a book called Counterfeit Revival, which was a blistering, scathing attack on Brownsville. Laid them out. Just tore them apart, calling it basically a sham, a work of the flesh, and other types of typical criticisms of revivals. Well, just so happened there was a scholar there by the name of Michael Brown. And Michael Brown is one of my all-time favorite authors. He's a Messianic Jew. He is a cool guy. When he was a teenager, he was a heroin-using, acid-head, rock drummer atheist. You know, yeah. Last guy in the world you expect to to have the life that he has had. Heroin using, acid head, rock drummer, atheist, and God gloriously saves him one day, rocks his world, and he becomes a passionate, fiery seeker of God, you know, pursuer of God. The man is one of the most passionate men after God I've ever seen in my life. Goes to school, goes to seminary. He gets a doctorate in ancient languages and literature. He is a, the man's a brainiac. He's literally a scholar's scholar. And what he does now, because he's a Messianic Jew, he goes to universities and he debates rabbis about the Messiahship of Jesus. I'm talking high level, dry your skin because it's so technical and that kind of stuff. But at the same time, in fact, he wrote a series of books. I've got several of them that you can get them from Jews for Jesus or CBD. It's called Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus. It's like a 4-volume set. Very scholarly, dry as dust, but if you want the real truth, you can find it in there. Great work. But he also is very passionate about the gospel. He's not just like a geek or something, like a Bible geek. He's also very passionate. He wrote a book called Revolution, which is one of the most, the thing is so full of fire, you could put a raw sirloin steak on it, and 10 minutes later you'd have a meal. I mean, this thing is that, the book, I have to keep other books away from it so they don't like ignite spontaneously. The man, he is like a Jewish Ron Luce. I am serious. If you can imagine Ron Luce, with curly hair and a beard, that's Michael Brown. He is passionate. Barbara Parker used to go to his school of revival down there. Passionate man of God. And he calls people to a radical walk with Christ. He is 100% about hardcore discipleship. He says, if you are not ready to lay down your life literally and die for Christ, you don't know what discipleship is all about. And he calls people to a radical walk with Christ. So Michael Brown is down there, and this book from Hank Hanegraaff comes out. Well, Michael Brown says, wait a minute, I think this is of God. I'm in the middle of it. I'm one of the pillars of this thing. He writes a book called Let No One Deceive You, which was just as blistering and scathing of a counterattack against what Hank Hanegraaff had wrote. And the next thing you know, these two guys are going at it like junkyard dogs. I mean, the fur is flying. And on the radio and in articles and stuff, they're just like, full bore barrage against each other. Excuse me. Smoke and fire and volleys going back and forth, just, viciously going at it. Finally, they agreed to debate one another. The radio company that sponsored Hank Hanegraaff's radio thing says, hey, let's have a debate. So they set this thing up, and both Michael Brown and Hank Hanegraaff agreed to debate this thing. So they have a closed debate. They have about 40 to 50 media leaders come to this thing. Hank Hanegraaff gives his position, and he's very strong and powerful and confrontational. Michael Brown comes on afterward. He gives his position. He's strong and powerful and confrontational, and they're just, going at it again, both all barrels blazing. And somebody in the audience says, I have a question. You guys are obviously both passionate followers of Jesus Christ. You both want the same thing. Why don't you guys reconcile with each other? And do you know, these two men were both so moved by this person, that's exactly what they did. Michael Brown, right there on the stage, says, I am sorry. And he begins to apologize to Hank Hanegraaff. And he says, please forgive me if I have sinned against you in any way, in either misrepresenting you or in hurting you somehow, or being in some way unchristlike towards you. And Hank Hanegraaff responds in like manner. He says, you know what? You're not the only one that needs to apologize. And he begins to apologize to Michael Brown over this thing. Next thing you know, these guys are saying, hey, you know what? Let's get together tonight. And this is what happened in the wake of that. He said, the result, we both had a free night at the hotel, and we spent almost 3 hours talking. We really became totally convinced of one another's sincerity and desire for certain common ground. We recognized one another as brothers and agreed to get together more. And they started calling each other back and forth. And Hank Hanegraaff got invited to come to the School of Revival there in Brownsville, and he accepted the invitation. And when he got down there, there were 500 students there. Before he was going to be a guest speaker, before he even got to say a word, they stood up and gave him a standing ovation. And he said he was literally overwhelmed by the love that he felt by the people there in Brownsville. And this is what Michael Brown said in summary. He said, we made it clear that Hank Pantograph is not now saying that he endorses the revival. But what he is saying is this: we are going to spend eternity together as brothers. We are both passionate for the fundamentals of the faith. We're both passionate to seek disciples and not just converts. We both have much ground in common. Let us see if we can flow our dialogue as an example to the body of Christ, to show how two leaders can have strong disagreements and yet dialogue in a way that is gracious and Christ-like, and learn from each other in doing so. You know, if we could just get a hold of that spirit and that same attitude when God begins to move, we could turn this world upside down. Instead of aiming our cannons and trying to decimate each other and blow each other to shreds, if we would work together as brothers and sisters in Christ, instead of just dismissing this as whatever, and say, you know what, I think God is moving here. Let's work together to make sure that this doesn't fizzle, but rather that this spreads as far and as wide and as deep as it can possibly go, and that God can get the glory and multitudes can get saved and come into the kingdom and experience the power of God. If we could get a hold of that spirit, what in the world could we do? Praise God. And Tom, you, in the beginning of the worship service, you know, I believe the Holy Spirit was leading you. You said, you know, it's about loving one another. And we start showing each other that love and walking out that love. Jesus said, you know, this is how the world will know that you belong to me, when you love one another. Praise God. Now, you know, as I said before, Missy and I are going, this Todd Bentley guy is going to be in North Carolina in a couple of days. Missy and I are going down there. You know, frankly, I'm not some big Todd Bentley fan. I'm glad that God is using this guy. I think, you know, it's kind of novel, and, you know, wow, okay, so he's got all these tattoos and all. You know, he says things that I would never say. Sometimes I hear him say things and I think, you're going to pay for that one. I wouldn't have said that, buddy. You know, and he does things that sometimes I think, you know what, I wouldn't have done that. You're gonna pay for that one, boy. I can hear the critics now, man. And, you know, and so I am not, you know, some big, you know, trying to promote him. He's a dude. He's a dude from Lakeland. You know, I think God is working through him. I think he's got flaws. I think he could use a little check and balance, and maybe with a little bit of accountability, it might help stem some of the criticism. But you know what? I'm not going down to see him. I'm going down because I believe that God is doing a work. And I want to be there. I want to check it out. Simple, yeah, simple desire. And as I said last week, I'm going with an open heart. I'm going with open eyes. Open heart, open eyes. I don't think you can go wrong that way. And I am excited about the possibilities. Praise God. It's not about us at all. It's all about Him. It's all about God. And I want more and more and more of Him, whatever the cost. You know, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me at Compass Group the other night and saying, I was talking to Jimmy, he was saying, you know what? If I break out in the midst of your church, you can better believe there's going to be criticism. And I know personally that if God moved in such a powerful way in our church like He did in the Great Awakening, I can name names in my mind of people that I know, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, who would never speak to me again, who would tell their friends that Satan was at work in our church. Is that the price that I'm willing to pay? And I felt the Holy Spirit asking me that. Are you willing to pay the price? You know what? May God give me the grace. May God give us the grace to be willing to pay the price and yet to love them as Christ loves the church, and to be gracious and humble and meek, and to seek for balance and to seek for purity, but also to hold our cups up to the Lord and say, here's my cup. Fill it up with more of you. God. How many people here want to see God move in a powerful way? I do. I am so hungry and thirsty, I'm almost beside myself. I can almost feel my spiritual stomach growling, saying, feed me. Praise God. Let's come expecting. Let's start expecting. Let's start praying for it. Let's cry out to God for it. Not for weirdness, just for Him. However it pleaseth Him to do it. as John Wesley said, let's just open our hearts and our minds to Him and ask God to move upon us so that He can transform this part of the world for Jesus Christ. Praise God. Lord, thank You so very much. Thank You so very much, Lord. Happy Father's Day, Father. We honor You, Lord. Father, I just pray that You would seal this word in our hearts, God, that we would be passionate people of God, and that we would follow You at whatever the cost, Lord, so that we can truly know You. God, help us to know You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.